One day, a teacher sent a young boy home from school with a note pinned on his shirt that said, "I'm sorry, but your child is unable to learn. We cannot do anything for him." What a terrible note for a parent to receive from a teacher about their child. His mother wrote back, "You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." That young boy was Thomas Edison, who would grow up to become America's greatest inventor. He developed many devices that greatly influenced life all around the world, such things as the telegraph, the phonograph, the motion picture camera. Every time you go to the cinema, think of Thomas Edison. Also, the electric light bulb. It was all by Thomas Edison, whom his teacher originally said, "I can't do anything with him." In a tribute to his mother, Edison said this, and I quote, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I would have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." End quote. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, my desire is to encourage mothers to understand that they have a tremendous influence for good in the lives of their children. Whether they can always recognize that, see that, observe that or not, moms, you have a tremendous influence in the lives of your children. Although the qualities that we're going to be looking at this morning refer to moms, and this message is dedicated to mothers, even the Apostle Paul himself patterned his spiritual leadership after these qualities. And they should be applied to all of us as well. Now, before I begin, as a pastor and a counselor, I always like to, when I come to Mother's Day and Father's Day, I always like to kind of preface my message that Mother's Day, and I'm very aware, can be a very painful day for some people for various reasons. Some women have deeply desired to be a mother, but for whatever physical reasons, they have not been able to. Some mothers have lost a child. Some children have lost a mother. For some, the mother-child relationship is estranged. Things are not good. So a day like this just brings that to the surface. While others have had mothers, such as my wife, and many others I've talked to through the years that were far from being good, let alone godly. Praise the Lord for my wife's stepmother, whom she calls mom, who is a very godly woman. But her biological mother that I have never met, who died when she was very young, was a very neglectful alcoholic woman who ended up dying of alcoholism. Again, there's a lot of pain that is wrapped around a special day like this. So I want to be sensitive to that, and I always like to state that we're celebrating Mother's Day, but in the context of understanding that God is sovereign. You see, whatever the situation, God calls us to honor our parents, whoever they are. That's a command by God. To honor our parents for who they are and what they did right, and to allow His God's sovereign work and His will to be done in our lives, regardless of our past. God wants to use that to make us the person that He wants us to be. And all of that can be part of our individual testimony for Him. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 9. This morning I want to look at three qualities of a godly mother that enable her children the greatest opportunity to become all that God created them to be. The first quality of a godly mother is this: her gentle character. Her gentle character. Paul says in verse 7, "But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Now, in these three verses, 7 through 9, Paul uses certain qualities of a good and a godly mother to describe his own spiritual leadership that he had with the Thessalonian believers. When he says, "we proved" here, he is referring to himself, Silas, and Timothy, and how they had demonstrated the reality and the genuineness of their gentle character to these Thessalonian believers on a very consistent basis. The word gentle means to be mild, to be meek, to be kind. Gentleness, or the other word for that is meekness. These two words, gentleness, meekness, is not weakness. In no way is that weakness. It is strength that is under control. It's the opposite of being harsh and angry and demanding. A godly mother not only displays a gentle attitude to her children, but also to her husband. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, that a wife's adornment is not to be just external, the physical things and clothes and things that she wears. But he says, "But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." You see, gentleness is a very prominent quality of a godly woman. A very prominent quality. A godly mother who is gentle is not an emotional roller coaster. Calm on one day and then a wreck, frustrated, angry the next. She has proved herself consistently to be gentle in how she relates in the home. Numerous studies have shown that the emotional consistency of parents have a tremendous impact on the emotional health and the security of children in the home. Now notice here that Paul says again that they were gentle among you. Talking to these Thessalonian believers, "We were gentle among you." Literally, gentle in the midst of you. In the midst of you, right along with you. In the very presence of you. You see, this speaks of relational closeness, intimacy, connection. Paul and his companions were available. They were present. To be present is to be all there. Not to be there in body, but to be there in heart, soul, engaged. They were available and they were present in these believers' lives. Likewise, a godly mother. A godly mother is available. She's present. She's all there in her children's lives. Nothing can take the place of a mother's presence, because what children want the most is her. They want her. British psychiatrist Dr. John Bowlby correctly said, and I quote, "A child's hunger for his mother's love and presence is as great as his hunger for food." And you know how a newborn baby longs for food. And in consequence, her absence inevitably generates a powerful sense of loss. End quote. One study on American families accurately stated that attentive presence is the chief way to say, "I love you. You matter. Your value in my life is unsurpassed." I like how Max Lucado put it. He said, and I quote, "The people who make a difference are not the ones with the credentials, but with the concern." You see, their heart is there. They love the people that they are with. Paul goes on to further describe this gentle character in verse 7. Look what he says. "As a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." The one Greek word translated "tenderly cares" literally means to warm with body heat, to cherish with tender love. What a graphic picture that Paul is using here of a nursing mother tenderly holding her newborn child in her arms up against her warm body, giving her child her own life-sustaining milk. Paul is using that in the way that he and his companions were leading these believers. Spiritual leadership is gentle, tenderly caring, not some dictatorial demand. He's patterning this after a mother. In the life of a believer, the gentleness portrayed in this tender care of others, it's an evidence of a spirit-controlled life. Why is that? Remember, the word gentle means mild, meek, kind. As you read Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, these are the fruit of the Spirit of God when He is controlling our life. We have gentleness, we have kindness. You know, as I've spent a lot of time thinking and praying about what I wanted to say to mothers today, as I try to think of a good example of this particular quality of gentleness as well as the others, the person who comes to my mind the most is my own mother. My mother would be the first to admit, you know her, her and my father are in our church family. She'd be the first to admit that she is far from perfect. She is very quick to ask for forgiveness when she fails. But she is one of the gentlest people that I know, because she has allowed the Holy Spirit of God to work through her, to control her life. I just want to share just a couple things. How the Spirit of God and the grace of God have moved in my mother's life to make her the mom that she is. As I think back over my life, honestly, growing up, I don't ever remember my mother blowing up in anger, screaming, or using foul language. Never. Now, although I gave her plenty of opportunities to be upset, she never did that. I never experienced that myself. However, I knew I was in big trouble when she called me by my full name, Mark Richard Hardy. Or she said, wait till your dad gets home. You see, my mom consistently proved to be gentle, just as she is today, which made me, and I'm sure my sisters as well, feel very safe, very secure growing up. I grew up in a totally different home than my wife. My mother genuinely, tenderly cares for people. She's always been an example of relational closeness and intimacy and connection. She's modeled what it looks like to be available and present, to be all there when talking to people. She looks you in the eye. She's there. She's listening. She's not distracted, which has helped me tremendously in working with people. I've also experienced the strength of her gentleness numerous times in my life. Gentleness is strong. It's not weak. It is strong. It takes strength to move in, to engage. Anybody can dodge a situation, to be absent. A good example is the time in high school when, because of a serious injury that I had, my dream growing up, and I spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of things were put towards this. My dream of playing college and professional baseball was in the process of being shattered. And that reality made me angry. I was not right with the Lord. And I was not behaving well. I'll never forget, one day my mom came downstairs into my bedroom. And again, she walked right up to me, took my face in her hands, looked me right in the eyes, and she gently said to me, I know you're hurting, but I do not condone how you are acting. I love you. I believe in you. The Lord has a plan for your life, but you need to trust and obey Him at this difficult time. That was strength in her gentleness. I would go on to have surgery and to play baseball in college until I had another injury. But as I've shared before with our church family, it was during that time that God had called me into the ministry. So God had another plan for my life. But my mother's gentle character helped me to get there. The second quality of a godly mother is her loving involvement. Her loving involvement. Look what Paul says in verse 8. Having so fond of an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Like a loving mother, Paul and his companions had a deep love for the Thessalonian believers, as indicated in the phrases, so fond an affection for you, and also very dear to us. Fond affection refers to a very strong, deep, heartfelt love, attachment, and devotion to someone. The words very dear means beloved, beloved, showing the preciousness and priceless treasure that these believers were to Paul. Isn't that exactly how a godly mother most deeply feels about her family. It's her deep, unselfish love for her children that motivates her to do what she does, to be involved in helping them grow physically and emotionally, spiritually. And for her, this is not a duty. This is not merely a duty. This is a delight. She gets to do this. Not that it's not hard, not that it's always fun, but what she wants most is to be lovingly involved in her children's lives. She expresses her love for her children in countless tangible ways: physical touch, kisses, hugs, spending time with them, involving herself in their lives or activities, words of loving affirmation. I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You're special to me. I'm so glad you're my son. I'm so glad you're my daughter. Now, just as Paul's love for the Thessalonians caused him to be well-pleased. The word well-pleased means eager. Just as that caused him to be well-pleased or eager to give these Thessalonian believers two things, so a godly mother's love for her children does the same thing. What are those two things? The first thing Paul says is that a godly mother is eager to impart to their children the gospel of God. The gospel of God. What's it profit a man, Jesus says, if he gains the whole world and lose your soul? You get every dream fulfilled. You accomplish everything that you ever wanted to do. You go to the top. What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, only the gospel of God addresses the welfare of our soul. The word impart means to share, to put before, by means of teaching or discipleship. The gospel of God refers to the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died and he was buried, he rose again from the dead, that we might have life eternal. This not only includes the basic truths of Jesus Christ that lead to salvation, but also all the truths of Scripture that then lead to sanctification. It is in the everyday flow of life that both godly mothers and fathers are called to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The heart's desire, the constant prayer of a godly mother, is that every one of her children would come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And having done that, they would then live their lives in obedience to Christ and the truths of his word. That is the heart's desire of every godly woman, every godly mother, as well as every godly father. So the first thing that godly mothers are eager to impart to their children is the gospel of God. The second thing that they are eager to impart is their own lives. Their own lives. A godly mother is lovingly involved in every part of their children's lives, especially at a very young age, because the kids are totally dependent. Obviously, as the kids get older, they become more independent, but the mom is right there. She talks with them about life, about Jesus, about God's word, about what is important to them. She listens to their concerns, answers their questions, gives them instruction, training, guidance, counsel, encouragement. She is giving them herself, her own life. Since more is caught than taught, she appropriately allows her children, as well as any grandchildren, to hear about her own faith relationship with Jesus Christ, about her own spiritual journey, what God is doing in her life. She allows her family to observe the reality of God's truth lived out and modeled in her own life, sharing the lessons that she has learned, both in the good times and in the bad. You know, my ears always perk up when people start talking about how God ministered to them in the bad times. Of course, we love the good times. We praise God for the good times. But there's a lot of bad times living in a fallen, sinful world. When the bottom falls out, when you experience pain and trials, they may be physical, they may be emotional, whatever that is, where do they trust God? How do they do that as they walk through that? A godly mother is willing to open her life and to model how to follow Christ in the middle of that. Listen to what some famous men said about the tremendous influence their mother had on them. George Washington said, "I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from my mother. She was the greatest teacher I ever had." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am, all that I ever hoped to be, I owe to my mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother." Charles Spurgeon, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother." John Wesley, "My mother was the source from which I derived the guiding principles of my life." D.L. Moody, "All I've ever accomplished in my life spiritually, I owe to my mother." Timothy's testimony is described by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:5. Listen to what he said. "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Chapter 3, verse 15, he goes on to say, "From childhood, Timothy, you have known the sacred writings," or the scriptures, "which are able to give the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And again, he heard those scriptures from his grandmother and his mother. By God's sovereign will, I've had the privilege to relate to Timothy, to have the same spiritual heritage as him. Not only a mother and a grandmother who were born again believers, but also I've got two great grandmothers who love Jesus, and I still cherish one of the letters from one of them encouraging me to trust the Lord, to walk with Him. And that was years and years ago, before she went to heaven. Right underneath her relationship with Jesus Christ, my mother's greatest love and treasure has always been her family. Because she and my dad prioritize my sisters and me, they lovingly involved themselves, they invested themselves in our lives. They involved themselves in swim team, youth group, sports, school, many other things through the years. They're still involved today. They're still involved today. They're part of our church family. And they're involved in the lives of all of their children, as well as their grandchildren and now their great-grandchildren. It's hard to catch up with them. They're always going somewhere, doing something with one of the family members. You know, as I've thought about it, I'm sure my heart for counseling, my desire to try to help people who are hurting, to cling to the Lord, to trust Him no matter what they're going through, was shaped by my mother's godly counsel of me throughout my years. I still have some special cards that she sent me when I was in college to encourage me to keep on growing in my Christian faith. Even after I graduated from college and went to seminary and beyond that, even afterwards, I've cherished certain things that she's written me to keep my eyes on Jesus no matter what's going on. Even in the difficult times, to continue to trust Him, to obey Him. Why? Because that's what a godly mother does. She loves her children. She wants them to know the Lord, to trust the Lord, no matter what's happening, whatever they're going through. I believe I can honestly say that I would not be where I am today in my relationship with Jesus Christ without the prayers and the support, the loving involvement of my godly mother and father. Brings us to the third important quality of a godly mother, which is this: her sacrificial service. Her sacrificial service. Look what Paul said in verse 9. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Paul and his companions, motivated by a mother-like love, gave themselves sacrificially in tireless service of the gospel on behalf of the Thessalonian believers. The word labor here speaks of the difficulty, the wearisomeness, the fatigue, the long hours that came from the work of ministering, of serving these believers. The word hardship emphasizes the struggle and effort in such a spiritual labor. Christian ministry is not easy. Being a godly mother is not easy. A great sacrifice to themselves, Paul and his companions worked night and day to proclaim the gospel of God to these believers to help them grow spiritually. Their sacrifice is an excellent description, I believe, of the hard work of a godly mother in the home. Motherhood is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. She is on call, 24/7, 365. Proverbs 31:27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. While maintaining a priority relationship with her husband, right underneath Jesus Christ is the husband-wife relationship. That is the priority relationship in the home. And it's out of that that then the children are taken care of. We're not to put the kids in our spouse's place. While maintaining a priority relationship with her husband, a godly mother works night and day, often to the point of weariness and fatigue, sacrificing her own desires, comfort, and even sleep to meet the developing physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of her children. Hers is a sacrificial service. In her book, Mom, You're Incredible, Linda Weber accurately states, and I quote, "Motherhood is not an entry-level service position for mindless, insecure, second-class citizens. It is the noblest of callings to be entrusted with the very life, health, and well-being of a tiny human person is a great gift and honor. To invest your time and best efforts into a child and watch him or her grow, develop, and excel is to be part of the grand majesty of life itself." End quote. I feel like I need to say that since all children have a will of their own, there's no guarantee that her children will believe or follow all the gospel truth and the various things that she labors so hard to teach them when they grow up. Kids grow up, they leave the home, they have children of their own. It's a heartache to see many of them walk away from the very things they were taught at home. But a godly mother, and I say that as well to fathers, never gives up on their children. Never. She never stops loving. She never stops praying. She never stops entrusting her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren to the Lord. I think Washington Irving, an American author, historian and diplomat in the early 19th century, said it best, and I quote, "The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation. A mother's love still lives on." End quote. That's the love of a godly mother. Why? Because the love that she has is not a human love. It's a supernatural love that God gives her to be able to do that. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Since a godly mother's joy is to sacrificially serve those she loves, it is very fitting for her family to reward her with joy and honor and praise, especially on a special day like this and throughout the year. Exodus 20:12, the fifth of the Ten Commandments, says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Later, Jesus would repeat that very command more than once. And Paul also would refer back to that in the New Testament. Proverbs 23:25 tells us, "Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you." As children, we have the ability to be able to bring joy to our parents. Proverbs 31:28-30 declares, "Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.'" A woman who fears the Lord, that's a godly mother. "She shall be praised." Joy, honor, praise is something that we have opportunity to give our moms. I'm so thankful to God for my godly mother's sacrificial service to our family, which is beyond calculation. Again, how do you think of all the, how do you remember everything that they've done? My tribute to her today is just a few of the ways that She has greatly influenced my own personal life. I know that many of you are wonderful, godly mothers, just like my mom. Therefore, in this message, my desire is to encourage each one of us, to honor our mother today. If she's still living, to honor her, to tell her how much you love her and appreciate her. Again, as I said earlier, depending on the circumstances, this may begin with forgiving her. If you had a difficult situation growing up, how do you honor somebody that you still hold bitterness against? It may begin with forgiving her, but the Lord wants us to express with gratitude and love to her for the person that she is as our God-given mother and for all that she has done right in our life. Three qualities of a godly mother that enable her children the greatest opportunity to become all that God created them to be: her gentle character, her loving involvement, and her sacrificial service. And as I said right at the start, these three qualities are to be in all of our lives. Whether we're in spiritual leadership, in the church, or just believers, we are to be like this as well. Have the qualities of a gentle character, a loving involvement in people's lives, and sacrificially serving others. Mothers, we love you. We honor you today for all that you are, all that you have done, all that you continue to do in our lives. May God richly bless you and give you a very happy Mother's Day today.